Through the years, many times, and especially after someone has experienced a loss or perhaps the death of a loved one, and on many occasions a conversation has taken place, and sometimes the conversation would be held between myself and someone who might not even be a Christian. But I've often been asked, how can I find comfort? How can I find encouragement? Tell me where to read in the Bible to feel better. To the best of my recollection, I suppose, without exception, I have directed people to the Psalms. Because in the Psalms, I believe we find the words and the expressions, inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit, but the expressions of a man whose life experience ran the gamut. The man after God's own heart, David, king of Israel, the sweet singer of Israel, the shepherd boy, the giant slayer, however we choose to remember him. And many of those different words and titles reflect occasions in David's life. There were times when he was obviously as low as a person could feel. There were times when he was tormented by friends who mistreated him, trusted ones who pursued him. Honorable, so-called honorable people who tried to kill him. There were times when obviously David could clearly see and reflect upon some of the greatest blessings that a person could ever imagine. And in reading the words that he often wrote, we recognize that he was among the most thankful as he considered God's blessings in his life. Whatever our situation is, wherever we find ourselves on the scale, so to speak, I believe there is something in the Psalms for all of us. That's not to say that God's Word in other places, in other texts, other books, is not just as helpful, for it is. But it seems that we find in the Psalms more specific and direct help and encouragement for, shall we say, the emotional side of our lives. This evening I come to you bringing a very simple lesson that I'd like for us to give consideration to for just a few minutes based on Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10. If you have your Bible with you, I would encourage you to turn there. We're going to be looking at those three verses. And I've entitled this lesson, after struggling quite a bit with trying to figure out what to call it. I don't know if you understand how much trouble it is to name all of these sermons. There was a time when, in fact, most of my preaching life, the title didn't mean anything more than just some way for me to put it down in an index so that I could find it later. But now, as we post our sermons on the internet and using the PowerPoint and so forth, I feel compelled to have a logical, sensible title. And you know, I run pretty low in my creative side, and it's hard to come up with a catchy title for everything. And so I'll be glad to tell you that I kind of struggled with this one, and Paul can back me up on that. I think maybe I called it three different things in successive emails to him as we tried to pick the songs out. But I finally landed on encouragements for the servant of God. And I find four things in this passage that I believe are worthy of our consideration here this evening for just a few minutes as we turn to Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I've pulled four of those words out of that text. I believe that's reading from the New King James Version. There are some subtle differences in some words that you may have noticed as you followed along with me. But four of these words I want to use as reminders of some very encouraging things. Number one, I would call your attention to the word taste. That is a rather unique passage that says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." It's interesting to me that even today we use the sense of taste often as that which may be in some ways most sensitive, or at least that which commends approval more than anything else. Something that tastes good has always been recognized as a wholesome way to say just about the best thing that you could say about anything. Oh, that really tastes good. And conversely, to refer to something as having an awful taste, there's nobody who wonders what that means. That strikes home. We know exactly what that's talking about. And to see here in Scripture that the word says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." There is a New Testament reference that says just about the same thing. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, where Peter says, "If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Let's think about that for just a minute. Tasting. Taste. And see that the Lord is good. I want to call your attention back to one of those songs that we sang earlier. It may be new to some of us. I think we've sung it here before. But the song, "The Lord Has Been Mindful of Me." It goes right along with this point so well that I want to refresh your memory of the words. "Though I through the valley of shadow or mountain or troubled sea, and oft in the darkness have traveled, the Lord has been mindful of me." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Much more than my grief and my sorrow, much more than adversity, much more than all I have given, the Lord has been mindful of me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm rich. I'm saved. I'm happy. I've health and prosperity. I've friends. I have doors ever open. The Lord has been mindful of me. I could preach a couple of sermons on that alone, just the words of that song. Aren't those some encouraging words? The Lord has been so mindful. Taste and see that the Lord is so good. How many ways has He blessed us? You remember that old poem or song? How many ways do I love Thee? Let me count the ways. How many ways has He blessed us? Let's count some of the ways. Not really, but do this. Go home tonight, or maybe tomorrow night, or at the end of a day, and take a piece of paper and a pencil and just start writing down all of the things that God has blessed you with. If your heart's right, you will never get to the end of the list. You can't write enough to put it all down. You'll run out of paper. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Remember the words of that song talking about the love of God, and it's measured in His blessings. Taste and see. Think about the people that represent God's blessings. Our families, our friends, our church. I know that Even as we rejoice with Ray and Josie over their baptism this morning, I know they won't mind me telling you this. When Ray handed me the card, it had on there that they wanted to be baptized after our services. And I asked him, I said, is this really what you mean? He said, yeah, Josie's a little bit shy. I said, these people are not going to leave. Most of them will still be here. And I think someone commented on that, that so many people stayed this morning as they were baptized. What a blessing is the Lord's church, this congregation that we're privileged to be a part of, that we have the opportunity to work together with one another to accomplish measurable things in this world. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All of the things that He has blessed our lives with. It's kind of easy sometimes, especially in hard times like this, to count all of those things we're having to do without. Let's don't lose sight of all of those things that God has given us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Number two, I want you to pay attention to the word trust. In the latter part of verse 8, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Some translations say the man who takes refuge in Him. And I think that just adds to our understanding of this same concept. You don't go running to hide in something or under something or around something that you don't trust. You remember what we all did whenever something got after us around the house? You went and hid behind Mama's skirts. There was a reason for that. That was the most trusted source of protection and provision for a little fellow just barely able to get around. You go and hide in something that you trust. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Thee. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I want you to think with me for just a minute to some of the passages that the Bible in the Bible that commend trust, trusting the Lord. And I want us to see that it's not just a one-way street. In fact, if you'll just take a concordance down and look up and jot down a few references, passages that tell us, and you'll find a majority of them, I think, in the Psalms and in the Proverbs. But if you'll jot down a few of those passages that instruct us to trust in the Lord, I think in almost every context you will also find something else that's mentioned that we sometimes forget to mention. Trust in the Lord is very important. But that other part that's usually there has to do with something that you and I need to do. For example, in Psalm 4, verse 5, the psalmist says, I believe, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. In Psalm 37, verse 3, and put your trust in the Lord and do good. You see, we always want to be sure that God comes through with His part, but there's a part for us in there too. If God is going to protect us, if God is going to give us refuge, He's got a requirement or two of us. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Of course, Proverbs 3 is perhaps one of the more familiar passages that we turn to in, on the subject of trust in the Lord. Beginning in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. See, there it is. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You see all those things we need to do in addition to trusting the Lord? Those who trust in the Lord are blessed. Next, we find the word fear. In verse 9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack." You know, in some ways, we've got a little problem with this concept of being afraid of God. That's not all there is to that exhortation to fear the Lord. It's not like we're afraid of God in the sense that He can't be trusted to treat us right. We've already nailed that down. It's not the fact that God has an overabundance of power that He's not going to be responsible with, and so we have to keep an eye on Him all the time lest He reach out and zap us for something that's not our fault. But Jesus did say in Matthew 10, verse 28, "Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot harm the soul, but fear Him who has the power to destroy both soul and body in hell." And we understand that the word fear there doesn't have so much afraid in it as it has respect in it. Reverence. We're talking about the matter of reverencing God. Treating Him with respect. Giving Him His due. Solomon said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs 1:7. David said, Psalm 110, verse 10, "It's the beginning of wisdom, and those who practice it have good understanding." The fourth word is seek. The young lions, verse 10 says, suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I suppose it's a good thing that every time we hear the word seek, our minds are unavoidably drawn to Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Do you notice that verse says basically the same thing? He says the wild animals go around hungry and sometimes they starve, but those who seek the Lord do not lack anything. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The "these things" that he's referring to there, and our Lord is talking, are the daily necessities. David said in Psalm 119, verse 10, "With my whole heart I seek thee." We talked this morning about our culture and our society that pushes us very strongly to straddle the fence on things. A couple of you Alabama fans really gave it to me good at the back door this morning after my Alabama-Auburn comparison of straddling the fence. But we live in a culture that has lost its appreciation for wholeheartedness. And in some ways that makes it more difficult on you and I as God's children. It definitely makes it more challenging for us to make sure that we give the Lord our very best. Our very best of every single thing, on every single occasion, when every door is opened, at every opportunity. "I will seek thee with all my heart, with my whole heart." And those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.